Hello, I'm Mark Steiner. Welcome back. Before we jump into our conversation with Marshall Bell, I'll remind you the Mark Steiner Show is sponsored in part by the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development. Mortgage late? Don't wait. If you're struggling with your mortgage, the state of Maryland is offering housing counseling and legal assistance. Maryland's HOPE program can even help you understand the state's mediation law and the Attorney General's National Foreclosure Settlement. Don't wait. Get help today. More information at mdhope.org or at 877-462-7555. Long overdue. Marshall Bell is in the house.
Yes, sir. It's a pleasure, man.
Good to see you, man.
How you doing?
Welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great to have you here. And folks, you can join us here at 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. Log on to Facebook. Put your comments there because I saw the conversation going on about Marshall being on the show. If you're on part of that, join us there. Or tweet us at Mark Steiner. Marshall, of course, is host of Midday Magazine on some other radio station, Radio 1, WLB, and author of this novel, Baltimore Blues, Harm City.
Yes.
And so.
Yes, I'm here. I'm in the house.
Oh, man. All right, good. So let's just start off with this book.
Yeah. It's been fun, man. It's been really exciting. The book came out last August, and
right.
It has been really well received.
We're only a year late, brother.
It's okay. It's okay. You know what? Today is the day. That's all that matters. This book has legs, man. So, you know, it's all good. But, yeah, it came out last August, man. It's been very, very well received. I got some really good reviews in the city paper and some other folks. I've been on everybody's, you know, Channel 2, Channel 11, Channel 13. And folks are really feeling this book, man, because I think it's really touching folks on a number of levels.
Why don't you give us a sense of the book? And why don't you read a passage, then we'll talk about.
Sure.
I know you have some stuff picked up. I'd love
sure.
to.
Well, the book, like you said, it's called Baltimore Blues, Harm City. Now, my first novel was called The Darkest Secret, and that book took place in Washington, D.C. You know, I went to Howard University.
Mm-hmm.
I came out a long time ago. But D.C. is, you know, kind of like my second home. That book, The Darkest Secret, was more about post-racial politics, okay, in your after your Obama. And it was on a kind of a different level. Folks enjoyed the book, but I wanted to bring it back home and tell a story about a young man and his two siblings who live in a tough neighborhood in West Baltimore. That's really where my family is from, originally from middle part of West Baltimore, right off of North Avenue. And the struggles to survive in a tough environment. But the book is about, like I said, about three young kids, and it's from primarily from the young man, the middle child's perspective, and he wants to do different in his life, but he needs some help, Mark. And I really feel like it really speaks to the situation that's not just going on in Baltimore City, but throughout much of this country. Young folks who are in a tough situation, particularly our young men,
mm-hmm.
Who have dreams, who have desires, who have hopes, but they don't know how to get to that next level. You know, the easy path is to go down the path of the streets and that's, you know, being honest, being crime, and
yeah,
that's the easy road.
The streets are, they're seductive and addictive.
They are, man.
I don't mean the drugs. I mean just the being on the corner is addictive.
People don't understand. Even people who use drugs, it's not just the using of the drugs or even the making money off of the drugs. It's like you said, it's the whole lifestyle. It's having something to do every day,
right.
You know. But this young man, his name is Cameron, he wants to get out of that life. And he reaches out to some older guys like myself, like yourself. And I really believe that's where the turnaround is going to come from, at least in my community, in our community, is that older guys like myself who've been through some life experiences, who've seen some things, you know, who've made some mistakes, to reach back and help our young men and our young ladies, but particularly our young men, find that path and give them the game plan to get out of that situation and do better in their life, you know.
So, but he also, Cameron's also got this other level, which is not uncommon for a lot of young people in the community, which is to play father to his little brother.
Exactly.
He's only like four, if I remember right.
Right. Like you said, you know, he has an older sister, her name is Chance, and his younger brother. The three of them, they're siblings, they're living together because the parents are out of the picture, which is very common, you know.
People don't know how common this is.
Yeah, and sometimes even if the parent is physically there, they may not really be there.
Right.
Because they may have their own issues, including drug addiction or whatever, or alcoholism. But these kids actually do live alone. The mom's gone, the dad is out of the picture, and they're raising themselves, man. And that's not, like you said, it's not uncommon. It's very common. And they're kind of our lost generation, our lost kids. But they have a desire to do different. They really, I have a lot of faith in our young people. You know, I believe that they can turn around. We can show them a new path. But we have to reach back and help them.
In your novel, Your novel feels like that. I mean, that's the feel you have throughout what you're writing.
Yeah.
That you do have a hope in the future and a hope in...
I believe in him, man. I really do. You know, he meets two older guys, the main character, his name is Blue, and he's a barber, which is a common theme, you know, in our community, the barbershop, man, you know.
Right.
And
Lenny Clay.
Pardon me?
I was just making
it pop. You know, it's funny you mention that because I'm going to be honest with you. I patterned Blue off of Lenny.
I knew that. I could feel it.
Lenny, you know, Clay, with the gray hair and the wise. And
he's such a he is a wise man.
Exactly.
Very interesting guy who went from his bookmaking world to becoming a barber to he's just who had his arm broke because the police have a thing about black men. But
how about that? How about that? Exactly.
And even an older man like him.
Right.
But yes, I thought it was Lenny Clay.
That's who I patterned him. And the thing is, I haven't seen Lenny, you know, it's been over 20 years, you know.
He's a great man.
Yeah. But that's who I patterned him off of. I'm going to read a short passage right here to give you an idea of where Cameron's mindset is. Cameron's 15 years of hard living had taught him that the reality he shared with others was always on loan. Tomorrow was not guaranteed, nor was the next moment or next season in each of our ever-unfolding lives. The journey offered promise, but no promises, hope and wishes, but no guarantee of ever cashing in the chips we lay down to gamble. A wrong turn or wrong decision at the wrong moment could end good intentions and bright ideas. Whether we choose to accept it or not, every relation and relationship with anyone or anything we've ever known or come to love was always on borrowed time. And that's from his own experiences, you know, because his mom did pass away suddenly.
From AIDS.
And from AIDS, you know, and his dad was just left his life unexpectedly, you know. And it's not like I'm not saying that it's done, you know, that's just for him, for that child and that environment. I mean, it's for everybody, you know, you never know what's going to happen next. But it's a lot of uncertainty in that lifestyle, you know. It's crazy. I mean, you know, I've been there. I've had difficult years and difficult times when I was unfocused, and you know, I'm in recovery right now. So I know that feeling, man, that lifestyle is crazy. You never know what's going to happen at any moment. Things can turn around at any moment, you know. But we got to give kids hope, and we got to give them some stability.
So, and one of the things that you have to think about in some ways, the wire when you think about your book, but
sure,
in a different way. I want to talk about that in a minute.
Right.
But it's kind of a pretty hard road. You have Chance, who prostitutes her body to white men in the suburbs, right?
Well, not just white men.
Not just white men, but to
that's
men,
the main character I use,
right,
you know,
yeah.
to give it some focus. But yeah, that's another common story, and that's something that folks don't talk about. Now, we know we heard about the prostitution bust they had a couple days ago. The reality is that a lot of these young women are not with organized pimps. They just have, quote unquote, sponsors. That's the new word.
That's right.
I got a sponsor.
Right.
Who do you have as an older guy who's really taking advantage of you? I mean, you're selling your services. I mean, that's just keeping it real. But she's doing what she has to
different
do.
Different than the sponsor you might have in recovery.
Exactly, right. Talking about you even got a sponsor. Exactly.
Right.
But, yeah, so, you know, these are older guys who are basically preying on our younger women. But she's doing what she has to do to feed her family and take care of her two younger brothers. But it's real. And it's true. And it's sad. But she also meets somebody a little later on in the book who also a little older, but he's also more responsible, and he's trying to not just take advantage of her, but he really wants to show her a different way of life as well.
So, I mean, how real is that other part for you?
Pardon me?
How real is the other part of your book for you, the part about the intervention of people in young people's lives, the kind of kind of making the decision and deciding to kind of move a different way and the struggle it takes to get to that place and how easy it is to fall back?
Right. Well, I tell you, you know, I've been blessed in the last year or so, really ever since the Baltimore City Paper article, even before then.
The one about your book.
About my book, right.
Book, yeah.
But it also mentioned a lot of my struggles as well, put it, you know, into context. And I kind of, but I've been, since then, I've been invited to speak to a number of schools in and around the city, you know, and to share my experiences, strengths, you know, and vision and hopes. Because you're right, it's not a one-time thing. You know, it's about mentorship. It's about showing kids that it's not going to be easy now. All right, you know, a lot of kids think, and that's part of the culture we live in now. You know, they see the stuff on TV, the people with the big cars and the big houses, and they think you can get it overnight. That's not how it happens, man. You got to put some work in to get it. And even still, you know, the days the drug dealers making out, the 90s are over. There's really no even money in the drug game anymore anyway. It really
like
isn't.
It was. Right.
It really isn't. You know, I mean, the kids that are on these corners now, they're working all day for $30, $40. And the risks that you're taking are tremendous. with your life, with getting arrested and going away for a long time. I heard the conversation before, you know, with the candidate. For a little bit of crack, you're gone for 5 years, you know.
It's crazy.
A gun, you're gone for 10 years, you know. So the risk-reward is not there anymore. But we got to show children that that lifestyle, while it may seem attractive, it's just not worth it. It's just not worth it, you know.
So just a digression for a moment. I'm just curious, as you were talking about that, what are your thoughts on these young men who are now taking to the streets? They've had their 300-man marches where 400 or 500 men have showed up, mostly African-American but mixed.
Right, right.
What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's outstanding. Look, that's the answer. That's the answer right there. I'm trying to get Brother Manier on my show as well. And I've been speaking that since I've been doing my show, and that is that we got to get off the sidelines, man. We got to get off the bench. I think a lot of folks in our community, there's blame to go around, okay? And we can live in the blame game and all that. But the reality is that the politicians, the police, and the preachers, they have a role to play. We hope that they do play a role. Perhaps they will, perhaps they won't. But ultimately, the only way we're going to turn our communities around is if we take control, if we stand up, if we man up, right? And walk the streets, talk to these kids, and show them a different way. I have nothing. I love what they're doing, man. My hope, though, is not just that they are marching through communities, but like in a war, you know, when you go through an area, you leave some troops there to do some more developmental work.
Right.
You know, because, I mean, there's programs out there. We got, you know, you just can't just talk to a kid one day on a corner and then go to another corner on the other side of town. You got to stay there and do some more work. But I think it's a great idea, man. That's where it's going to change. Is going to start when men and women step up and take responsibility for our own communities.
Do you want to read another piece of your book?
Yeah, sure. I do.
Another portion?
Yeah. Some advice, like I said, that the older gentleman, this is Blue speaking to Cam. And like I said, there's a lot of...
It's so funny you hear Blue speaking to Cam. Maybe it's about Lenny Clay. Now I keep seeing his face.
Yeah, right. This, like I said, he drops a lot of pearls on him, but this is one thing he says to him. He says, Cam, as men, all we have in life is our word, our good name, and our kahunas. I'll say that. Sometimes it seems like all you kids worry about is your kahunas, respect, what others think about you. But that's not all a man is. A real man is many things, not just some fool out here trying to be bad just to get other fools to respect him. No, a real man's word is bond, and he'll protect his good name, his good reputation, no matter what. And he refuses to let the changing winds affect who he is and what he wants out of life. A real man has character. His walk through life and how he carries himself through the good times and the bad is worthy of respect. Be that man, Cam. It's the only thing worth living and dying for. It's a pearl, man. You know, that's what we got to teach our kids, man. It's about character. It's about doing the right thing for the right reasons. You know, and that's what these older guys are trying to impart on these younger brothers.
Folks, join us here. You talked a lot about us on Facebook. I want to see you here calling and writing in at 410-319-8888 as we talk with Marshall Bell, local activist, radio host, and a novelist. His book we're talking about, Baltimore Blues, Harm City, 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. Tweet us at Mark Steiner. I'll check Facebook in a minute. Because, you know, let's talk a bit about, I mean, you... Part of what you went through, because you had your feet in both worlds. I mean, you grew up as a middle-class kid
in
Baltimore, right?
Yeah.
Father was a dentist.
Right. Brother was a politician. I didn't start messing up until I came back.
You came back
to Baltimore, obviously.
And you got into this production company that you ran, were putting on parties.
Right. Oh, you remember that, yeah.
Yeah,
Blackout Productions, man.
Blackout Productions, right. Blackout Productions.
Yeah, you went way back, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So I mean, so what was that? So it clearly wasn't like this. It wasn't the streets that you started on, because you know, went to Park School. You went to you went to Howard University, got your degree, did well in college. And
very strange path I took, man. But you know, and this is something I share when in fellowship as well. But you know, a lot of it had to do with ego, and I can handle things, and you know, that slippery slope. You know, I mean, and quite honestly, I have an addictive gene inside of me. You know what I mean? And you're playing with fire. Quite frankly, when you have that gene, and I got a lost focus, and like you said, Park School, then Howard, got my degree, family, and all that stuff.
Right.
And right around 25, 26, man, I met the wrong substance, Mark, that turned my life around, man. Boy, did it. For like the next 10 years, man, on and off, man, I had some bad years, man. But, you know, I'm here.
So what brought you back? I'm thinking about how you approach it in your novel.
Yeah.
I'm curious how that fits into the novel. What brought you back?
I guess really everybody finds their own path. I'm not going to say that I had the moment of clarity, like, you know, you see in the literature, you know, the lights come on and it's just not like that for most folks that I know. You get clean and then you mess up. You know, it's a process. And that's what we say in the fellow. So it's a process.
It is.
But about 4 years ago, I finally got it. And I realized that I had a lot more to live for and a lot of things that I wanted to do. And I have two sons as well. And I wanted to be a man of character that they could respect. And, you know, and it changed my whole life. And I got reconnected with good folks and, you know, really changed those, what they say, people, places, and things. I really did this time.
Uh-huh.
And I changed my life around. Yeah.
It's a lot. I mean, you have to, I mean, every day it's that you wake up and have to.
Right. Yeah. And everybody has a different process there. You know, some folks have to go to prison. Some folks have to hit that rock bottom. I had many rock bottoms, man. It was always, rock bottom could be any, you know, people say hit a rock bottom. Well,
a lot of rock bottoms.
A lot of rock bottoms.
From one to the other, right?
Exactly. Right, exactly. I didn't understand, you know, during that 10 years, I had clean time. I had messing up time, a year here, 6 months there, you know, but it was never consistent because I really hadn't really made that commitment that I wanted to change my life. But thank God I finally figured it out.
So I'm curious, you know, because you clearly, because of all that, in some negative way, but turned into a positive thing, had these legs in two worlds and could bridge this gap between the corner and also growing up in this middle class world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, that's a blessing. And that's what I do on my show and also in this book, because you have to meet people where they are, you know. And before you can bring them to where you want them to go. That's really what it boils down to. And that's what we're doing here, and that's what we're saying here in the book. I can speak the language, you know, and I can talk to folks and not talk down to them and respect them with where they are and who they are, because I've been there. You know, when I talk about stuff that I've written, what I've written about in this book, because it's very real, you know, there's one scene where Cameron's buying a gun in a drug house.
Right, 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 right.
I've been plenty of bandominiums, all right? I've been there. I know exactly what I'm talking about.
Bandominiums, right.
Yeah,
right.
In my past book, you know, in The Darkest Secret, I have some scenes like that as well. I know exactly what I'm talking about. I've been there. Plenty of them. Dozens of them. You know what I'm saying? So I know what I'm talking about. I'm not just, you know, just. And that's the kind of conversation that we need to have. A lot of times, it seems like some folks, and there's a big controversy right now, you know, about the Don Lemon thing.
Oh, right, right. Okay? Oh, right, 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 right.
And
right,
then,
right.
And also Bill Cosby on another level, okay? A lot of folks in our community feel like they are talking down to people, you know. You know, they're on their high horse. I'm not on anybody's high horse, you know. I've been everywhere I talk about, you know, and I think I have some lessons that I can share, you know. I'm not trying to talk down in a condescending manner, man. I've been there.
So given all this lined up here, and I'm thinking about the characters in your book, what is it you think that has to happen in a community like ours to begin to turn things around? Because as you said, it's not just a march.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just rhetoric.
Right, right. And let's understand, it's not going to be easy either. It's not going to happen overnight. And everybody's got
to
play.
And that's not putting down the march, because I think what those young people are doing out there, that moral sense in the street is important.
There's a place for marches.
Right.
You know, I think that we have to kind of change our mindset from 50 years ago, that some of those tactics may not be quite as effective today because the mindset of folks is not the same. You know, and that the marches of the late of the 50s and the 60s, that depended a lot upon appealing to the conscience of the power structure of white America, just the average white citizen, that there was injustice and that it had to change. Well, we're not there right now. We need to do more than just march, okay? There's a symbolic, you know, symbolism. That's cool, all right? Like the march that we're going to have in Washington, was it another week or two?
August 24th.
August 24th, right. I'll be there.
50th anniversary of the March on Washington.
Right, I'll be there.
I was there at the first one.
Were you really?
Yes.
That's cool. I can say I was at the Million Man March. And that's a good example. Let me give you that example. All right, the Million Man March. Symbolically, it was great, but nothing came out of it. You know what I mean? So March, that's why I give Brother Muneer a lot of credit. It wasn't just the march from Hilton to Milton and Milton to Hilton, and then we go away and nobody ever sees him again. He's actually staying in the community and doing the follow-up work. And that's the tough work. Marching 10 miles may seem tough. That ain't tough. Tough is talking to a kid and trying to turn his life around, man, on a real one-to-one basis. That's the real hard work. So like I said, it's not any one thing. The police do have to play a part. The state's attorney's office, the spiritual community, they've got to play a part. We have to have some talk to the government and change some policies or whatever. You know, so it's a multifaceted it's a multifaceted problem, which is going to require a multifaceted solution. You know, but we, as in our community, we have to play our part as well. We do. When I mentioned Don Lemon, what I meant to say was that many of his suggestions were real. I agree with much of what he said. I don't think he put it in the proper context, and I think that's where a lot of folks have a problem, because he didn't, you know, put it in the right context. There's a reason why folks, our folks, live the way we live and do the things we do. But on the surface, what he said was not wrong, but people have a problem because he came from a position that seemed like he was talking down to people. Bill Cosby seemed like he's talking down to people, even though his suggestions may be spot on, and it turns people off.
Right, exactly. And I think that there, and there's a complexity of what people have to go through in their lives and what they face. You know, when you talked about your characters in the book living alone and these kids raising each other.
Right.
You know the book Lord of the Flies.
Yeah, sure.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think a lot about Lord of the Flies in the inner city.
Right.
There are all these Lord of the Flies stories.
Right,
young
sure.
people raising each other.
Yeah, and it's a recipe for disaster. And not that they're bad. There would be any kids, you know.
Right.
Kids shouldn't be raising themselves, all right? And they're not mature enough. They haven't had experiences. They don't know the value of life. They don't know, you know, they really don't have a concept. You're 15 years old, somebody makes you mad, you see it on TV, you just pull a gun, you shoot somebody.
Right.
You don't understand the consequences of that. They haven't lived life yet. I don't blame them. But if anything, I blame us. You know, adults, we've dropped the ball.
So tell me, what, before we run out of time, I want to make sure that we, your next book readings.
Yeah.
You have a book fair coming up? And
I do. I got a couple of things. Well, tonight I'm going to be at the farmer's market at Druid Hill Park.
Yeah,
Alcohol Controlling Neighborhood Association. They have a little table there, so I'm going to bring some books over there.
Oh,
folks
cool.
definitely can come by and check me out. I'll be there
by the conservatory.
Conservatory, you're right. I'll be there about 4:30 or so. Stay there for a couple hours. But the main thing we got coming up at the Crown Plaza Hotel, this is Saturday, August 17th, from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. It's the African American Authors Expo. And this is big. This is black writers from a number of genres, from children's books to urban fiction to mystery, suspense, whatever it is. It's going to be Saturday, August 17th, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m., the Crown Plaza Hotel in Timonium, Maryland. And I'm also going to be doing, they asked me to come speak to folks, to new authors, get a little lecture. But it's going to be a really, I mean, even if you're not coming there to buy my book, just support the writers, man. Because, you know, artists, this is a tough path we lead.
It is.
It's not always.
But you find your time to do it, obviously, because you're doing this writing. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. I got another book coming up. It's from a whole different perspective.
Are you one of these get up early in the morning writers, or are you just late at night writers?
Late at night.
You're a late at night writer.
I wish I had the discipline like a Stephen King. You know what I mean? That's not me. I write when I feel compelled, when it hits me. You know. and honestly, I'll leave it alone for a month or two and then come back and I'll turn out three chapters and I'll leave it alone. It's just, that's how I write. This past book, this took like 9 months to write.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we all have our ways, right?
Yeah, man. I love the craft, though, man. I never thought of myself as an artist, but I guess writing is an art, you know.
Well, writing is an art.
I love manipulating words into, you know. That's why I love guys like Stephen King, who can tell a story and make, like, really put you there, and you feel, you're looking through, and especially with horror, and you're seeing what he's seeing through his eyes, just with the ability to manipulate words, man. It's awesome. I love reading. And I invite people, please read. Read, please read.
You can't be a writer unless you read.
You cannot be and that's the first thing I tell folks. If you want to be a good writer, you have to read a lot, man. It teaches you a lot of lessons. Absolutely.
Well, Marshall Bell, I'm glad you finally got to the studio here.
I'm so happy
to have you here.
It's been awesome, man.
And we look forward to having you back for our roundtables and discussions about the future of the city and more.
Yeah, sure, man. I think I got a really valuable perspective. Plus, we didn't even talk about the whole politics thing, but that's
my
background.
We're going to get into that.
Sure.
Because that is your background.
That is my background.
You've been a political manager. You run campaigns.
Yeah. But now I'm doing writing. And I'm still doing politics.
And you will. Political season's coming up. We'll see who you back and who you work with.
We will see.
We'll see. Okay. Marshall Bell, so meet him tonight at 4:30 at the Conservatory for the Farmers Market in Druid Hill Park.
Mm-hmm.
And on August
17th. It's a Saturday at the African American Authors Expo. You can find out more information about all that on my website, marshallcbell.com. My book is also available at amazon.com. And, of course, I'm on Facebook.
So the book is Baltimore Blues, Harm City by Marshall Bell. Of course, he's also a host of Midday Magazine with Marshall Bell on Radio 1. Good to have you here, man.
Outstanding. Thank you.
So, folks, thanks for being with us today. Jim, I'm sorry we can't get your call. I think we're just out of time, aren't we? We are out of time. But we will – y'all got to call in a little earlier, and then we can get you on the air. So, but it's good to have you all listening to our program and having Marshall Bell and the rest here today. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Stephanie Mavronis, Bobby Marvin Holmes, and Mark Gunnery. Our engineers are Andre Melton. Our interns are Albert Phillips Jr., Daniel Dupree, Alexander Rudy, Sinead Hawkins, and Kamani Seldon. Our theme music is by Wal Matthews of Clean Cuts. You can podcast and hear our shows and find out about our guests and link to their work by just visiting our website at steinershow.org. You can also listen to and podcast all of our programming on iTunes. So for Public Radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, I'm Mark Steiner. Stay tuned for Michelle Martin coming up with Tell Me More. Take care. We'll be talking tomorrow.